I gotta do something here, guys. I'm reverbing on myself. It's all right. Well, there's a little bit of a lag. I gotta turn this.
Make sure you have a napkin to clean that up.
I just gotta turn myself down because there's just a slight lag. It's driving me nuts, but I gotta be able to hear you guys.
Are we gonna be able to hear bumpers?
No, week? I just tried. It's not working.
Okay.
So, stupid thing. I didn't have a chance. I was going to send an email to the Sound Siphon guys and say, "Hey, WTF?"
Yep.
This is yeah. Broke. It works for like the first 5 minutes, and then after that, it starts crackling.
Really?
Yeah. Well, my audio does. It could be because I'm using that thing.
The flux capacitor.
The iTrack Solo, which right. is, you know.
Or the Han Solo, whichever. Yeah,
because I have to take my mixer board, and mm-hmm. I plug that now into the iTrack Solo so I can plug into USB.
You had me at it doesn't work.
Almost live from across the USA. This is Late Night. Your hosts tonight are Joel, Barry, Marty, and Michael, that virtual Uber guy. Tonight, Barry has Marshmallow on his Nexus 7. Captain Crunch is screwing with Michael's USB. And Joel broke his iCloud. All that and more on Late Night. Cheers! Digitally gathering in October of 2015 like it was Groundhog Day.
Then put your little hand in mine. There ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb. Hey. I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
Okay, camper, rise and shine. And don't forget your booties because it's cold out there.
Here's Joel, Barry, Marty, and Michael!
Welcome, everybody, to Late Night QRM, show number 199 from the very colorful, it's the beginning of peak week, in the beautiful Monadnock region of southwest New Hampshire. I am Barry J.
And from south central New Hampshire here in the same Monadnock Mountains where I'm really getting tired already of the leaf peepers. In Studio Antrim, this is Joel.
And here in the Tug Hill Plateau of Central New York, where we're already past peak and losing leaves, this is Barry.
And hopefully this is the last weekend for us. It actually caused me to do a repost of Invasion of the Leaf Peepers. This is Michael, the virtual Yeeper.
All right, and yes, it is. It is. Let me turn. Oh, that's not doing me any good. Okay. I am trying to get rid of my echo onto myself, which nobody else can hear but me. It's a little bit annoying.
You have a medication for that.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I got a fine ointment for that.
So it is. Oh, and I forgot to say. Oh, geez. We didn't. None of us said it. Yes. Tonight's beverage of choice is for me a Red Stag, a Black Cherry, a straight, as I like to call it, candy bourbon. Michael?
Oh, okay. And finishing up that bottle from last week, actually, I've taken some of the Yellowtail Merlot and mixed it with apple juice for this evening.
That sounds pretty good.
Nice.
It is. It does. I'm having my usual brandy.
Yeah. Ah. And while shopping at Market Basket up at Warner, today. They were giving away free samples
of
Warsteiner Dunkel, dark German beer.
Ah.
And it is good. Accidentally, without my wife's knowledge, a 12-pack fell in the carriage.
Was that at the Market Basket?
Yes, sir.
Wow. They've got some pretty good, what do you call them? Those
micro
things. Microbrewery. That's it.
Microbrewery, yep. They have a huge selection.
Just fair warning. I know it's usually like this, but for some reason this past week, the brain, I have been having brain farts all week. And I'm just giving you fair warning because it may be worse tonight than normal.
And blame it on the change of seasons.
How many of those candy brandies have we had this evening?
No. I just started drinking tonight. I think that's the problem. I stopped drinking during the week, and I think it's having an effect on me.
Too much blood in your alcohol system.
Good one.
That's right. Oh, and I have to tell you, Joel, I went to the podcasting supply store in Jaffrey today.
Oh, really?
Which is really the dumpiest podcasting supply store in the state of New Hampshire, but they do have the friendliest people.
You know what? This is I used to feel the same way, and then I realized something. I'm not here for the shelves, the lighting, the flooring, or the decor. Yeah. I'm here for what's on those shelves.
Yeah, and it was the most convenient because I made the usual dump run with Sammy this morning, and then on the way back, I realized that we were drastically low on podcasting supplies, and so stopped in and spent like $88 on, on podcasting supplies. But we're good. We're good for another month or so, probably. So.
Or a week if I stop over tomorrow.
There we go. I wanted to tell you though. I did see a bottle of what the hell's the stuff you liked, Ezariah?
Ezra Brooks Cinnamon Bourbon.
Yes, they had it in Jaffrey.
Oh, I have to make a trip to Jaffrey tomorrow.
So they, I don't know whether it's just Jaffrey that has it or maybe it's making a comeback.
I didn't see it at the other podcasting supply store that I was at earlier this week. So and that's where I picked up the Crown Royal Apple and the Christian Brothers Brandy. But, I may have to make a swing by. It might be a layover bottle from last year.
It could be. I don't know. I didn't really look. It was on the bottom shelf. So I didn't really look back to see how many were behind it.
Well, there'll be a lot less tomorrow. I can tell you that.
There we go.
Bottom shelf. That means Joel's got to bend over.
I'll get on my hands and knees and dig it out from the back of his shelf for that stuff.
Yeah. Really? Oh, crap. Okay, Joel, I hope you remember the third song that you chose. Or I'm going to have to look it up fast because I just realized I didn't put that in the show notes.
I'll look it up.
Okay. Anyway, so as we get into Days of Our Lives, it was a very rainy off Friday this week. And my wife and I, we were going to go up to the Vermont Country Store because we haven't been there in a long time. And, you know, we have to make a pilgrimage at least twice a year to there. And not the new one that's by 91. No, that's the fake one. You got to go to the original one that's up in Weston, Vermont. And but we were going to stop on the way to Allison's apple orchard and pick up some apples and some cider and that stuff. And it was pouring rain when we got there, and but it was okay. The nice thing about off Fridays is, hey, there was us and maybe three other people. Whereas if you went there today, it was probably packed with people. Uh-huh. Because, and not only that, but leaf peepers are out and all that. So, because it's the Connecticut River Valley right there. So, so we stopped and then, we said, yeah, we're not going to drive all the way up there. Cause I mean, it was deluge. It was like windshield wipers on fast and you still couldn't see very well. And so we ended up having lunch and at a restaurant, and then turned around and came back, and she goes, "Oh yeah, I wanted to stop at Home Depot."
Ooh, that's always fun.
And so we stopped there, and I said, by that time, my coat that I was wearing was soaked because, well, when we were in the little town, boy, I'm forgetting the frickin' name of the town. There we go, first brain fart. Where the restaurant was, I decided in the rain to walk around and take all the green portals. So that my and of course naturally I was the furthest away from where we were parked, and that's when it started coming down. So I made it back to the car. I just threw the coat in the back of the car, and when we got to Home Depot, I said, "Yeah, you go on without me. I'm staying in the car. I'm not putting the coat on to get into the store." And then we went over to the Price Chopper, which is right next door, and yeah, so I was doing the same thing. She was just going in for a couple of things, and so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I hear this whack on the back of my car, and I'm like, "What the fuck?" Yeah, I'm looking around, and I don't see anybody, you know, and I'm like, I was just about getting ready to get out, and all of a sudden this big guy comes walking over the side of the car, cracking up, and who was that, Joel?
Let's see. I think it was me.
That's funny as hell.
Oh God, also, it was too much.
Well, on my rainy day off, just a perfect segue, by the way, Barry. And we were, you know, looking at the rain and saying, "Oh, all right, let's go out and pick up all the stuff that we need to pick up at the different stores." Off to Keene we go, Wally World. Pick up a few of sundries, cat food, you know, toilet paper or whatever. Blah blah blah. Then it's like, wait, we need to go to Home Depot. And away to the Home Depot in Keene, actually the same one that you guys are at, we go and spend way too much money buying shit for the house.
Yep. Always
picking
happens.
Up this, and I need one of those, and I need some of these. Oh, I got to find that in the plumbing section. And then it's like, okay, next stop, Price Chopper. And that's where my beautiful bride and son said, "We're staying in the truck." I'm like, "All right, I'll go in." So I grabbed the carriage. I got the list, and I'm wheeling the carriage around, doo-doo-doo, picking up this, picking up that on the list, that on the list. Oop, this isn't on the list, but it's going in the carriage. And I round the corner, and lo and behold, who do I see but Barry's beautiful bride walking and just round the corner. I went, "Wait a sec, that looks like Anne-Marie." So I go and I try and chase and get right up next to her so I can say hello. And I'll tell you what, she shops fast. Boy, was she booking. And I'm pushing this carriage like a madman. People are looking at it like, okay, who's the giant baldy guy pushing the carriage looking frantic? You know, I'm checking little old ladies off into the friggin' Wheaties and everything else trying to catch up. And I round the corner and I'm like, "Hey, what's your problem? You know you walk too fast." And she turns around like, "What the? Oh, hey."
Not unlike Barry's reaction.
And I said, "Hey." And she said, "What are you doing here?" And I pointed at the carriage. I said, "Well, I'm not here to pick up firewood." Why else do you go to the grocery store?
So
then from there, I'm like, "So where's Barry?" "Oh, he's waiting up in the car in the parking lot." I'm like, "Perfect." Said, "I think I'm all done shopping now. I'll go out there and I'll pretend to carjack him." So, my way out with my shopping, found the pre-eye and walked over, and I thought, how do we want to do the introductions? I know. I'll slam my hand on the back of the tailgate or on the back roof hatch so hard he'll think someone just backed into him, and then I'll duck down and he won't even see a car there, and I'll go, "What the hell was that?" So, wham! And duck down. He's looking. And I round the corner as fast as I can. I get right up to the window and go, "Hey!" And he's like, "Holy shit, hey, how you doing?"
That's good.
Well, I've had in my first Prius, I remember one time I was going to work, and then I was still working down in Hudson. at the time. So I was on the road that goes to exit 8 or entrance 8, I guess, when when you're getting on. And I was sitting at the light and down by that apartment complex, and all of a sudden I hear this whack on my car, just like what you did. And I said, oh crap, what the hell is that? And I'm looking and I don't see anything, you know, and all the cars were stopped, and the only thing I could think of were kids were throwing snowballs from the tall trees up the hill or something. But by the time I got to work, I got to work and I get out of the car, and there's this nice dent in the panel, the back panel that's between the rear window and the back door window. Yeah. I had this nice dent, so I don't know what they hit me with, but it put a nice dent in it. And so when you did that, I was like, ah, crap, what's going on now? And like I said, I was busy getting ready to, I was trying to turn off the, I was listening to the radio on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we don't listen to the real radio anymore. And the funny thing was, I was actually listening to the radio station in Keene. It's an AM station in Keene, and you know, it sounds better on the phone.
Right. So, I just knew you were nose deep into the iPhone 6 Plus.
Yeah. I was probably looking at Ingress maps.
And had it in your hand.
Yeah. Whenever the news. That's right. I was reading the news when you were.
When I rounded the corner.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
I thought that was fun. I'm like, yeah, he's like, now.
Oh, yeah. But it was a nice rainy day. Today was a gorgeous day outside.
Absolutely.
And I got to take down three small pine trees, which Emery.
He pretended they were portals.
But she wanted down. And so I took them down, chopped them up. And that was my day. Today.
Michael, how was yours?
I thought you were up next there, Joel.
Actually, no. You know, I'm looking at you, and then I go back into it.
You already did the second one. With me.
All right. Tell you how with it I am tonight. Anyhow, as some of you have seen this already, but there was I don't know if it was just a couple or a family. It was up here last month, actually 2 months ago now, because I think it was dated in August. But they took some photo drone, quadcopter type photos of the Keweenaw, and just awesome, awesome video. So I just kind of wanted to mention that. It's up on our Google Plus Late Night QRM page. And I also did a Facebook post. I don't do that very often.
What?
Actually, I did two today. Between that and celebrating the end of the leaf peeper season for us, so I reposted the invasion of the leaf peeper video that I don't know if it was that you that put it up, Barry, originally a couple years ago.
I don't remember. I could have.
I know it's from the Frost Heaves, so it talks about
it. Must have been me then.
That area you live in.
Yeah.
And I'll also I think I've mentioned in the past, but besides that. This just incredible video. It covers pretty much from the bridge down at the southwest part of the island here to almost the tip of the Keweenaw. It gives a pretty good idea of the place
it was. It was excellent. It's an excellent video. It really is.
Yeah, it did a good job. They actually have a link if you want to go to look at the video right off of YouTube. They have an Ultra HD version you can actually look at there.
Very cool.
The 10-minute video in Ultra HD is like 280 meg or something like that.
Wow.
But it's really high def.
Yeah. It's cool. It, especially the shots going over parts of Lake Superior right on the coastline there and everything. You can really see the iron and the different colors. A woman I work with, and this summer she was up around there. She went to... I think she was on the right side of the lake. But she was down at, what's the name of the town? The big town. Come on, Michael, you know it. You know where you take the...
Oh, Marquette?
Marquette, yes. I could.
Yeah, okay.
I was thinking, the only thing that came into my head was Marlowe. And I knew it wasn't.
This patient's got trouble. We'll take him to the Merlot.
But she went kayaking from there up and down Lake Superior, and she was talking about the cliffs and how, you know, if you hit them with the light hits them at the right thing, it's just like a rainbow of colors coming off those cliffs and everything. She really loved it up there.
And we've had copious northern lights in the last week too.
Oh,
at one point Tuesday morning, 5:30 in the morning, I'm bringing my son up to the bus. I could look, kind of look up, and I said, "Yep, there's the sun coming up in the northwest." And you're like, "Whoa, what?" Now look at this. It looked like the sun was rising in the northwest. So I drove out to the lighthouse lookout, and sure enough, it just was cranking bright as could be.
Yeah, they actually made it down here into New Hampshire earlier in the evening. I guess people were seeing them up in Maine and northern part of New Hampshire. I quickly checked space weather, but they had already moved up. And I said, it might be cloudy outside because it had rained that afternoon. And I went outside and it was crystal clear out, but there was nothing there to see. I keep looking.
You know, well, so. You'll just have to come up here and see him again.
I know. They're guaranteed there. Jeez. But apparently the sun's been extremely busy with and much to the dismay of amateur radio operators all over the place on HF.
Well, it depends. HF, yeah, but yeah. You get some really good VHF propagation when you get those lights. So.
Yeah, the AHF, the HF guys HF? Don't particularly care for it.
No.
All right. Joel.
Yes. Yes. Basically, we were just talking about what went down today, being in Warner. And last time we went up to the grocery store, we had seen the signs that said Warner Fall Foliage Festival this weekend. So we said, you know what? We should all go to that. So we went. And wow, what an awesome turnout. I mean, this thing is big. The whole town, downtown Main Street, they put a carnival in, vendors all over the place, and just tons of stuff to buy. I mean, there's a lot. They shuttle bus people from parking areas to get to it. And so, you know, it's a really, really nice turnout, big turnout, too. And I think I said that already. And then whilst there, walking down Main Street, hacking portals along the way and dropping resonators. I went ahead and my wife spotted the New Hampshire Telephone Museum. Now, many, many, many moons ago, many shows ago, I mentioned more, on a couple of occasions, actually, I collect old telephones and I'll rebuild them, get them in broken, get them in pieces. Yeah, I just love old telephones and old like radios, clocks and radios. I don't know why, I just like rebuilding them. They're cool. And so needless to say that when you come across the New Hampshire Telephone Museum, I want to go. And for all the attendees of the Warner Fall Foliage Festival, which is also going on tomorrow as well, it's free admission. So we went into the Telephone Museum. What a freaking cool. And it's not just telephones. They've got all kinds of military memorabilia, the technology as far as how things have advanced, as far as field phones and the whole evolution of the cell phone, and you know, you can pick them up and play with them, and like the brick that you had a huge display with, you pick it up and play with the brick. And I went to my son and said, "Hey, used to carry one of these." And he went, "Don't put that next to your head; you get radiation, get brain cancer." I said, "Probably." I said, "But we did."
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I'd like to go to that place.
And it was really freaking cool to go there, which also happened to be right next to the Firefighters Museum. So it's like, we're going to that too. And so we went into the Firefighters Museum. We went to the Telephone Museum. And it was just, I mean, super informative. Made a donation there and then went over. And then they had this, you know, the horse-drawn carriages, the stagecoaches. They have an organization there that has two of them out on display. I mean, you can't get in them, but you can look in them, go right up and look in them and on. A very, very, very super informative history of the stagecoach and how the ones with suspension were actually invented in here in New Hampshire. why they were called stage coaches in the first place.
Why were they?
Believe it or not, because you used to, when you took a trip, you took it in stages. So you, if you left from Concord, New Hampshire, on one stagecoach with a six-team horse or a six-horse team, they would say necessarily get you from Concord as to say Manchester. From there, you'd get off or stay in that cage, the coach, get out, go to the local tavern, stretch your legs, get something to eat, drink, when they put a new team of horses on that coach and a new driver.
Ah.
And then you're in the stage two. Let's say you're making a trip down to Nashua. Then they would go from Manchester, say, down to Nashua, and then eventually you can take another, where they change the team of horses and another driver on the same coach, and then they would drive that team, say, if you're headed down to Boston.
Oh.
And it all in stages.
And of course, that was probably a three-day trip back in those days.
Not to mention, you think, wow, what a six-horse team on there, plus the carriage itself, or the coach, the thing's as long as a tractor trailer.
Yeah.
And the driver is actually driving this six-team, you know, horse team, and this carriage with six pieces of straps of leather. That's how you steer something that big. I mean, that's pretty darn impressive.
Yeah.
But they would go to that stage, and then another driver and set of horses would do the next leg, and then the previous one that took you down that far, their only job is to then go back. Take people back up in another carriage or in another stagecoach.
Another coach, yeah. That's cool. It's pretty amazing, Joe.
I just thought it was really interesting. This is pretty damn cool. So we made a donation there because they're trying to acquire six more coaches, and it's just they were everybody super nice, super friendly, and it was a really good time. I highly, highly, highly recommend going and walking around, and you know they got food, all the million different food vendors. They had a couple of them there selling bison burgers and venison stew and all kinds. It's just it's cool. It's big. It's the whole town.
Wow. Well, today just jump in. Today was Scarecrow Day in Jaffrey, so the place was downtown. Jaffrey was packed with everybody making their scarecrows, and I'm sure the streets now are lined with scarecrows, which is hopefully they're doing it a little better, because when they first did it, the first couple of years, they put the scarecrows right out, like at the edge where the sidewalk was. And at night, you couldn't tell the difference whether it was a scarecrow or a real person trying to cross the street. So I think they've kind of settled in and put the scarecrows go in a couple places where we know there's scarecrows.
You know, it's funny. My beautiful bride mentioned, she read online that the city of Nashua decided to do the same thing and have a scarecrow festival. I said, wow, they can have some dressed like hookers and other ones like crack dealers.
And you wouldn't know the difference. There you go.
How's that different than any other day going down Main Street?
There you go.
I was shot by a scarecrow.
Yeah, no kidding. Wearing hoodies and bandanas.
Yeah, really.
I got a high school classmate that made a rendition of Cousin It and has it standing on her front porch up on Pentacle. And she put it on Facebook. I thought it was pretty cool.
Oh, that's cool. Very good. Jeez. All right, Joel.
It's getting
cool now here.
Very cool. Like it's 31 degrees outside right now.
Yes.
And in that preparation, earlier this week, I sent the fellas iMessage of me firing up the old Honda HS33 snowblower and getting it ready for when the snow does fly. And fired right up, purred like a kitten. I should probably put a new plug in it. I've never done that. And actually, maybe I did one year. I don't remember. But I thought, yep, boys, got to get ready for the snow. And then I followed up a few days later with, you know what? I think I better pull out the old kerosene stoves, the heaters, and decide to address those in the event the power will, and it will, go out.
Yeah.
That we have a good source of heat up here. So what's pretty much consisted of me putting it on the kitchen counter and taking it apart. It was empty, but, you know, and I couldn't remember. I'm like, do I got to put a new wick in this thing? I'm like, I don't even remember how I put wicks in it. It's been that long since I've torn it apart. I'm like, I'll figure it out again. And sure enough, well, before I put them away, like 6 years ago was the last time we've ever turned it on, I put new wicks in. Probably had one or two burns on it. So I'm like, sweet, I'm a genius. So I just cut the wicks out and I soaked them in a little, you know, Tupperware bowl that we had sitting around I used for soaking parts. And I just filled it with a little kerosene and let it soak. Mm-hmm. And then reassembled the whole entire thing. And voila. Fires off and it's throwing 14,000 BTUs of heat out.
Wow.
So cool. Yeah, that was I was pretty pleased with all that going on, because what prompted that was the delay in the P-38 getting here. I kept calling it the P-61 and the 45. It's actually a P-38 Harman pellet stove that should hopefully be here this week.
Nice. It's so can't come any sooner.
Exactly. I mean, the kerosene stoves take just one takes the chill off the whole house and everything and makes it comfy. But, you know, once I get the pellet stove in, then we'll switch to walking around in shorts and tank top mode, because it'll just roast us right out of the house.
Yeah, nice. That'll be good.
Yeah, we played around with kerosene as well, though, over this past weekend. This past week, because it got so cold, and we called our fuel oil people and said, hey, can you give us a delivery? Because we ran our tank out back in the spring and figured, well, we could tough it out. It's going to get warm, you know, which it did. But the cold kind of came in kind of early this year, and it got kind of chilly. And after a couple of freezing nights, we figured, screw this crap. We went and got we were talking about this last week. I went ahead and took Joel's advice and went over and got like 10 gallons of kerosene and a couple of 5 gallon containers and dumped it in the tank. It says, there, let's keep ourselves warm until the fuel oil arrives.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were going to get the diesel like you were suggesting, but the kerosene was actually cheaper, so we went with that.
Really? No kidding. That's rare. It's, well, oddly enough, I went ahead and today I had to go do a run just before the show, as a matter of fact. I'm like, oh, I got to go get the kerosene filled. And after many phone calls and searching on the interwebs, the closest place it sells it is in Peterborough.
Mr. Mike's?
Yep. So I had to drive all the way down there.
Well, actually, and Jeffrey, Mr. Mike's sells it too.
Yeah, exactly. But Peterborough is a little closer to me, so I went and filled up there. And then I said to Kenny before I was heading down, I'm like, hey, I'm heading down there to go get kerosene. I said, you need anything? He goes, yeah. He goes, give me 5 gallons of diesel fuel. And so, because he was throwing that in place of the home heating oil in the tank just to test fire off the heating system in his house. So, but the diesel fuel was way cheaper. Kerosene's $4.59 a gallon.
Oh, here. Yeah. Kerosene's ridiculous.
Are you serious?
$4.59
around
a
here,
gallon.
It was, I think it was like $2.10, $2.20 for kerosene, and it was like $2.40 for diesel.
I put diesel in his can. It was $2.39 a gallon, $2.40 a gallon for diesel, and $4.59 a gallon for white undyed kerosene.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, I remember I bought it last year, and I was amazed at the price it was. Because when my boss lent me the big torpedo kerosene heater, I needed to get some for that. And I was like, oh, man, because I thought it was cheaper than gas before.
Right. No. And the thing of it's actually not economical to heat with, because it costs a damn much money.
Yeah.
Here, anyway.
Hey, speaking of heat, I forgot to add a story here. And so I'll quick tell it before we go to Michael's thing, because it deals with heat. We, you know, the oil heat started kicking on because it's been cold. Mm-hmm. And it went on, and Anne-Marie started feeling warm, and she goes, what the heck? And she went in and looked at the thermostat. Now, we have the thermostat set at 68, mm-hmm. and she looks at the thermostat, and it's up to 78, and the heat's still on.
Nice. Keep it going.
So she had to crank it down to somehow, I don't know, this happened several times, so we decided that the thermostat must be shot. And it's one of those electric ones. It was a programmable one, but it was, I don't know, we put it in like 15, 16 years ago. things. So then I had to go out and search because, you know, thermostats have changed since then, and they kept talking about the common wire. Oh, all the new thermostats need a common wire, especially the programmable ones. And so I'm researching it, and I said, oh, great. All I got is two lines, you know, two wires, and neither one of them is common. So I get to Home Depot after work, and I go in, and I'm looking, and I'm asking the guy, because all he's got is two-line wire there, 8x2. And I said, you got an 8x3? He goes, well, you can go over there. He goes, what are you trying to do? I said, well, I need to put a new thermostat in, and they all say you need a common wire. He goes, no, all you have to do is, jump it from the red wire over to the common and you're good. He says, he even says that in the instructions. He looks at what thermostat are you getting? And I showed it to him and he says, oh, it already comes pre-jumpered for you. You know, if you're going to set it up for cooling and heating, you got to take the jumper out. And I said, oh, okay, great. Well, that saved me a bunch of worry, because I was looking at this thing like add a wire and a couple other things, and so got the new thermostat. And let me tell you, when I was shopping, you know, the geek in me was looking at these ones that have Wi-Fi and you can control it from your phone and this and that. And I got inside.
You can check your home temperature from your phone when you're at work.
Yeah, I was getting ready, to pull the trigger on one of the Wi-Fi ones, a cheaper one. It was $99. Oh, and then I looked at it, and I said, you know what? It's not like we have air conditioning and heating on this. I said, all we've got is heating, and all we want is it to be programmable so it automatically sets it to a lower temperature at night and raises it back up in the morning. And so I got a 7-day programmable one. It was about half the price of that. And
how was that powered?
Because I said, the only time I actually touched that thermostat is on daylight savings when I changed the time on it.
Right. They're powered, Marty, from the 24 volts that's coming up from the transformer from the heating unit.
Oh, well, ours isn't. And, you know, I want to agree with Joel. These newfangled thermostats, I'm not a fan of them. When we got a new furnace put in, the guy that put it in wanted us to get this newer, more accurate type thermostat. Well, you know what? It's powered by two AA batteries. Those batteries die, and then the furnace is dead. You know, that sucks. I want back the old Honeywell one that was powered by the circuitry that was there, and you never had to do nothing but set it and forget it. Because, you know, we don't program. This one here is not programmable. All it has is a digital display. Well, big, hairy deal. It's like what Barry was talking about, where, you know, if you had air conditioning and heat, you could have it adjust back and forth, you know?
Yep.
You know, but we don't have air conditioning either. You know, our air conditioning is open the fucking window, you know? So, you know, we fired up the furnace and nothing was happening. We're like, what the hell? And I says, you know what? I bet the batteries are dead. Pull the face out. And sure enough, popped new batteries in it, plugged it back into the wall receptacle for it. And the furnace came on. And we were like, oh, God, this sucks. You know, so because we don't really get any more functionality out of it than we did the old Honeywell. You know,
the turn dial thermostats, I swear by. You want to know why? They work.
Always. I love the one we had. And he said, well, it's not going to work with this new furnace.
You can still get them. They're there.
The nice thing is, like, you just got to remember, at night before you go to bed, and Barry, you got the awesome same here, when you do last outs,
yeah.
Dog goes out, dog goes pee in the house, turn the thermostat down, go to bed.
Well, yep, I do that in the family room because we got the propane, or not propane, the propane heater stove in there,
right.
And I turn that one down because it's manual, but, you know, I don't want to take the extra steps to walk into the dining room to do the same thing.
Oh, no, I understand. That's why they got them out there. I've been as a kid growing up, we upgraded to the fancy digital one, then you have the digital display, then you have the programmables, and I'm like, you know what? We had problem after problem after problem, and eventually my old man went back and put in the dial-style thermostat, and it's like, you know what? This thing never doesn't not work. It just works.
I'm with Joel. I'm in Joel's corner here.
I mean, I love bells and whistles and geek shit, but there are certain things I'm not willing to gamble with. I mean, heat in the house is one of them.
Exactly.
Hot water's another one. Flushing toilets. I'm a big fan of those. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, we heard a couple of episodes back.
Yeah. So it's like the more bells go wrong and
okay, we're good.
All right. Sorry. And here's my last thing, and then I'll get off my little soapbox. Sorry, Barry. Which is, I build circuit boards for a living. And the more, if it needs a circuit board in it to work, the higher the probability it's going to fuck out. So the old turn dial ones, no circuit board, a piece of metal. It expands when it gets hot, and it contracts when it gets cold. Perfect.
Yeah. I like the programmable one because sometimes I, you know, again, I'm not always there. And it's also nice that in the morning when we get up, we set it so it goes on like a half hour before. So when we go downstairs, that the heat's up. So that's, you know, the nice thing about having that. And that's the main part of the downstairs. Of course, upstairs we have electric heat. And, oh, God.
How's that going,
sorry,
by the way?
Speaking of heating,
yeah, how's it?
I thought of another. Sorry, Michael. We'll get to you. Here was another thing. Okay. I didn't have time to put this stuff in. I got my electric bill and from Neversource. And, last month, I think I told you they put in new smart meter. Well, not smart meters, but meters they can read over the line. Guarantee you they're not smart meters, though. Okay, sure. But you can read them over the line anytime you want. And yeah, anyway, so they did a double reading because obviously they had to take a reading of the old one and take a reading of the new one. And then about a week later, we called them because our lights were flickering all the time. We noticed it since they put in the new meters. So they came out, did some stuff at the pole, and then they said, well, we weren't sure, but just to be safe, we popped that meter, the new meter, and put another one in. And so, again, they had to take a couple readings. Well, I got my electric bill, and I'm on the budget plan. And my electric bill for this month was, well, I'm on the budget plan. We use, because of the electric heat, our budget plan is $309 a month.
Holy shit.
And
damn, I'm going to buy stock in your power company.
Well, I got the electric bill, and this month it says I owe them $624.
Oh, how about kiss my ass?
So I'm looking at it.
I agree with Joel.
I'm looking at it, and then I call, and the lady's very nice, and we're talking, and we're trying to figure it out. She can't even figure out what's going on with this bill. But
is this my budget or yours?
Well, the whole thing is, as I said, look, the numbers could be right. Okay, I could actually owe $624. However, and we're coming up with the idea that when they switched out the meters, this is what caused all the problem because of the multiple readings. I said, however, I'm on the budget plan, and that should compensate for. I mean, I didn't use any more electricity than I did this time last year, and so I said, just because the meters got switched out doesn't mean I get bumped off the budget plan. You know, so right now, she went to her manager. They still couldn't figure it out. She goes, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to call billing and chat with them and see what's going on. So I'm expecting a phone call back from her Tuesday or so. So
you better chat her ass off, I tell you.
Yeah, well, either way, I'm going to say, okay, but I'm on the budget plan, so I pay $309, and that's what I'm paying. And all this should work its way out in the year to come, right?
Yeah.
You say, yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. And then when you're trying to write that second check for another $309 in the dark, you realize they didn't touch up.
That's the problem, you know? What other choice do I have? Another one. You know,
I'll have to see if I can find the old NASA pen I got as a child. There was this pen that you could get from NASA that they allegedly designed for the space program that you could write in the dark, because you could press it down and the end lit up so you could see the paper and you could write. I kept that thing for years. I'll have to see if I can find that and send it to you, Barry.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Just in case. I do have my generator, and it works. I did run it the weekend before this weekend. Running smoothly, and the electric start worked great, except for I found out my wife unplugged it. And I said, no, you have to leave this plugged in because the battery does not charge when you run it. There's no, even though it's a giant generator, it doesn't send any to the battery.
Yeah, my wife and I have had the same discussion because she likes to rearrange and clean up and put the generator in a convenient place where you can't plug it in. And says, no, hon, we need to put it somewhere where we can reach an outlet. She goes, why? Yeah, because you're not putting any power in the outlet. And says, no. The it's an automatic start, and you got to keep the battery charged. The battery won't get any charge if it just sits around in the dark corner. So we've had that discussion a couple of times.
Yeah. It's interesting concept, a generator. Well, I guess I could take the charger thing and plug it into the side of the generator when it's turned on, but I don't think that's going to quite do it for everything.
That's funny. So,
anyway, Michael, sorry. I added a Michael couple stories in there.
No problem. And, I'll have to bring up some power stories sometime, but... No, that's not what's on my list. Last night, I decided to run out and get a beer at the brewery. But as I mentioned earlier, it is leaf peeper season, and there was a huge mountain bike event, go figure, another one, in town this weekend, and all kinds of stuff going on. So I walked in the brewery, and the place is standing room only. And generally, on Friday night, 6, 7 o'clock, I go to the brewery to do my paperwork for the end of the week. Although my week really didn't end yesterday for my job, but I still like to have a beer and fill things out and, had a little more programming I was going to do. And I'm like, well, standing room only, I'm not going to be doing much work on my MacBook in here. And I was actually getting ready to turn around and leave. And I hear this, you come in here for coffee all the time, or actually you come into where I work for coffee all the time. Actually, more your oldest son comes in for coffee all the time. I was like, you must be from Siberia Cafe down in, and then I recognized her. She goes, we got an extra side, extra seat at the table here if you want to sit down. I'm like, well, as long as I'm not intruding. And she goes, oh, no. She said, I actually broke down on the way to the harbor, and somebody got me a ride here, and I was up to visit a friend, and your friend is so-and-so. I'm like, oh, yeah, actually, they live only, I've never met your friend, but I know the family, and they live in the same area of the Keweenaw that I do. I call them neighbors, but they probably live like a mile and a half away. But that's pretty close by our standards. Yep. Anyhow, so I'm talking to this lady for a bit, and she moved out here from Boston. She likes it here much better. Go figure. But her friend shows up.
A lot less crowded.
Definitely less crowded. But her friend shows up, and I'm talking to her, and I said, yeah, I actually used to be president of the association, the Homeowners Association, out where we live in the woods here. And she said, well, what do you do for work? I said, well, I'm a paramedic up here, and I do contract work. I said, but actually, since January, I've been working for a company out of Green Bay. She goes, yeah, actually, my significant other is a grad student at Michigan Tech University, and he actually works for a company in Green Bay, too. There's a lot of stuff going on down there. Like, yeah, that's kind of cool. So we're talking, and I said, and she finally gets around to this, like, well, her significant other is a computer science guy, and she goes, well, kind of what stuff you work on? So I open up my backpack, and I pull out the product I'm working on, and she looks at it, and she looks at me, and she looks at the product. She goes, you work for so-and-so? And I look at her and I'm like, this product's not even released yet. Turns out her boyfriend works for the same company that I do. There's 25 people in this company from the East Coast all the way out to Hawaii.
Wow.
That is a small world.
I mean, wow. I do know that, the company I work for recruits from Michigan Tech University. And I had heard that there was one of the early employees still lived down there, but it turns out that this early employee is this lady's boyfriend. So I was like, oh,
that's funny.
I've been meaning to go down and meet him sometime. And she's like, well, I'm going to text this right now. So, yeah, it's small world syndrome. It's kind of cool.
Wow.
I think it's really cool.
That is neat. Well, shall we move into Geek Corner?
Sure.
I'm not playing sound effects tonight because you guys can't hear them. So.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we missed that too. Just to let you know.
Yeah, I know. I got to work on something. If they don't give me a good answer, then I'm going to have to.
Hi, I'm Mike, and I'm here to say we're going to talk some geek talk today.
All right.
There's the new bumper.
All right. Well, I just want to say that last night, and this didn't happen OTA, as they like to call it, because I don't like to wait that long. When somebody releases software or a new operating system, I want it. You know,
yeah,
so,
I'm like you.
And so my Nexus 7 was sitting there, and I said, well, it's going to take a while for this thing to download, so I'll set it up and let it go while I'm doing other things. And so I marshmallowed my Nexus 7 last night, and it's working good.
Right away, it's what you posted last night. What do you mean the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man?
Well, it's funny. Because I have a little statue of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, partially burnt, that my sweet bride bought me, because I'm a big Ghostbusters fan. Yeah, and when Barry posted that, I just burst out laughing and looked at the guy and goes, "It's your fault, dude."
Yep. Well, that's what I said. I said my Nexus was became a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man last night. So I gotta say, it works good. It seems to be active. I mean, it seems to be a little faster. I don't see any differences in the GUI or anything. But it works, and hopefully it's saving my battery some, and it's working more efficiently. I think this marshmallow one, was kind of like the El Capitan. We call it Captain Crunch, but lately on all the other podcasts, the tech podcasts and stuff, I've been hearing it called El Crappitan. but it works. That's what I can say. And everything's doing well. And hey, kudos to Android folks for getting it out there. And it seems pretty good. So that's all I have to say for now about it. But I just wanted to say I'm marshmallowed.
I'll have to do that to my Nexus 7. I haven't turned that thing on in over a month.
Do you have a 2013 or a 2012?
Probably a 12.
Yeah, you can't run marshmallow on it then.
Oh. It's reached the end of life, huh?
Yes. Yes, only 23rd. So which means the next one that comes out, whatever N is going to be, you know, Nougat Bar or something.
Nougat Bar.
Could be
Gubby Bear.
No.
I probably no won't be able to upgrade that.
I know I've had mine for quite a long time. It was one of the early ones that came out because I wanted a real Google Android experience.
Yeah.
That's exactly the Samsung that I had was kind of sucky, and I figured, no, this can't be the real Android. And when I got the Nexus, I found out, yeah, okay, Samsung kind of fucked up the Android because the Google one was really nice. I liked it.
Yeah. It's a nice little tablet. I like it. I just, again, with Android, and maybe it's different, I've only had the Nexus experience with it, but I just find iOS more polished, and maybe that's just me. I don't know. The other one seems to work fine, but I run certain apps on it, and you know, they seem to be a little more jittery, a little less finesse compared to apps on iOS. I'm sorry, but that's the way I feel, and well, I'm not a big lover of Java, so that's another reason.
Yeah. I think with Android, the standards are a lot lower. You don't have to pass such a rigorous examination process to get an Android app into the Google store, where Apple is, you know, rather fussy about what kind of things they'll let people release into the iOS world, you know.
And they have they suffer from what Microsoft suffers from, in that they have to come up with an OS that works on multiple platforms of different hardware pieces and parts. Where iOS, they know what the hardware is that this stuff's going to run on. So,
yeah, that's true. That's a very good point.
Yeah.
So it doesn't explain why Captain Crunch doesn't work for shit.
I haven't had you know what? I haven't had any problems with Captain Crunch so far.
Yeah, I've got it on three of my machines, and I don't have any trouble with it either. I've heard a lot of complaints with people that try to upgrade Office to 2016. Like, I've got the Office 365 subscription, and I've held off from upgrading, mainly because I've been reading reports about the apps crashing a lot on Captain Crunch. So I'm kind of waiting a bit before I take the leap.
Well, I'm telling you, I have the 365 subscription too, and I already upgraded to 2016 using that, and I haven't had any problems so far with it. So
okay, well, that's my task for tomorrow then.
You know what I'll be working on?
Your mileage may vary, though. You know, yeah.
I've got. The main Macs that I run that on are a fairly recent iMac, 2010 Mac Pro, and a 2013 Mac Pro. Yeah. Which the 2013 is really kind of funny because Microsoft knows that it wants to put it on the boot drive. And I don't want all that space used up on my boot drive. So every upgrade, I have to take and move Office back to the boot drive, do the upgrade, and then move it off to my RAID drive, you know, and it runs fine from the RAID, you know, but for some reason the upgrade will not go because it says that it's in the wrong place. So I'll probably have to do the same thing to get 2016 to go.
Now, Michael's going to talk about some issues with Captain Crunch here too, and I want to hear about this because, again, Michael, I'm going to tell you, I haven't had any problems, but I want to know what you're talking about. So, Michael, go.
Okay, well, I've taken a considerable amount of ribbing from my fellow employees at the software company and hardware company that I work at, because I'm thinking, hey, this product's been out in public beta for better part of, you know, the year here, and people have been pounding on it, and they probably have got it pretty close. So I started out and I upgraded my original MacBook Pro, my personal one, which is a 2010, to Captain Crunch. And boy, it seemed to be running nice. It runs faster and battery life's even a little better. And there are little tiny hiccups here and there, especially when it comes to like Microsoft Office. But other than that, you know, I've been really happy with it. But one thing I forgot to test, I mean, I checked my development environment, I checked the software tools that I do for work, but I forgot to test one thing, and I'll get back to that in a second. So the next day, while I was still down in Illinois from my mom's birthday, where I had relatively higher bandwidth, actually, I think I have higher bandwidth here now than UVerse, but went ahead and upgraded my company MacBook Pro, which is a 2015 Retina. It's the latest. And bam, that thing was upgraded and things are cool. And again, I see a couple little tiny things, but I figured, oh, you know, 0.1 will take care of that, or 0.01 or whatever it is. Wasn't too worried about it. This week, I got to a point where I ran into a software problem and I had a plug-in and an in-circuit debugger. So a piece of industrial dependent USB equipment that goes in and does the software debugging and what I'm working on. And it would not initialize on my original MacBook Pro. Just could not. The drivers wouldn't work. Couldn't talk to it. And I'm like, oh, crap. And then I go online and I type in El Capitan USB problem. And holy crap. Well, actually, I had been seeing things all along and just never really, it didn't click. Half of my thumb drives won't mount on either machine without plugging them in multiple times. Half of my USB hard drives will not mount it to my 2010 at all. And the debugging tools that I need for work, if I plug them in once or twice on the new 2015 machine, will eventually initialize. But they don't initialize in my 2010. So as you can imagine, especially being a seasoned programmer that I am, I have gotten considerable crap about this from work. And I'm like, hey, guys, it's all working. I've got workarounds. And I said, and I have two nuclear options. Nuclear option number one is I did back up both machines before I upgraded them. And my work MacBook Pro is basically a compiler machine. It doesn't have email. It doesn't have anything else on it. And I kept a hard drive loaded with a Velociraptor install image on it. So I can do the nuclear restore back to Velociraptor in, you know, probably about an hour and a half. And if I really, 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 really need it, although there would be some resistance from the resistance forces, but my wife's MacBook Pro is still running Velociraptor. So if I had to, I could load the development environment on that and do debugging. But I'm working around it for now because, again, the company machine, I don't do any email. I don't do any upgrades. I don't do anything other than compile on it. And all the source code is, for those of you not in in the engineering world, we have repositories that actually have all the projects that I'm working on a server. So I do my upgrades. I do my tests. I write the software. And I upload it to the server. And generally, actually, I blow my directory away and download it from the server again to make sure it's where I had left it. So everything's sitting up at the company servers. So I can blow this machine away, reload it, and, well, we're not using Git. I wish we were. Actually, we'll probably switch to Git. But just before we release 50,000 products into the field, it's not the time to switch from SVN to Git.
No.
That would be worse than upgrading to a Captain Crunch. So, but yes, I have several of my thumb drives will not mount at all on my old machine. They're very difficult to mount to my new machine. Even when things are mounted, like Seagate and Winchester hard drives, or Western Digital, excuse me, not Winchester. Well, yeah. Anyhow, I've got hard drives attached that all of a sudden just unmount on their own and go away.
Really?
Wow.
But if you go on the net, you'll actually see numerous people having problems. And one of the machines that I'm having issues with is a brand new Retina 2015. So there are some issues out there.
I have the 2013. Not enough for me to go back. I will test. I haven't tested thumb drives on it, but I do have the 2013 MacBook Pro, and I have a 2 terabyte Seagate external drive down there that's actually sitting next to the Lazy Boy now, and I do plug it in all the time and have not had an issue with it yet.
Cool. And tell you what's happened to me.
And my iTrack solo here plugs into USB, and I haven't had, well, other than the horrific echo I've been dealing with all night.
What I wound up having to do for my debug tool is I actually dusted off an old stack of laptops, pulled out a 2005 Toshiba running Windows XP, and loaded the debug tool in it and the software, and bam, came right up.
Really?
So, yeah. But
I haven't put any thumb drive.
OCD will fix this, but between the thumb drives and the hard drives, I'm sure Apple's on it. Just they have a way of not admitting or talking about things until they have the fix.
Yeah, kind of pisses you off, right? I haven't tried putting any external drives or anything like that. Well, the only external drives that I have is on the 2013. But they're on Thunderbolt.
Yeah.
There's my RAID and the data RAID and the Time Machine RAID. Those are both on Thunderbolt connectors, and I haven't had any trouble with that. So, but I'll try a thumb drive on all three machines and see what happens.
And it depends how old the thumb drive is. Now, and you know, I like El Capitan. The problems haven't been enough for me to go back and revert. I was all set to be able to do it. I'm that smart. I am. I did back up both machines. I do have images for both machines, and I could revert if I had to. But the USB thing is a bit of a hassle, especially with the ribbing from my coworkers.
Yeah. But you do bring up a good point, though. This thing's been out in beta for damn close to a year.
Yeah, and it has been pretty well beat on.
Yeah, if it was just the developer beta, I would have just said, yeah, okay, you know, we'll hold off on it. But then when I looked at it, people have been posting about USB problems with beta going back to early summer.
Wow, really?
This is not a new problem.
Huh, and they released it anyway. That worries me.
Yep.
Well, you know, Apple's been doing that more and more.
Well,
and
the Steve Jobs, they've been releasing
things.
In the Steve Jobs era, yeah, that wouldn't have happened if it wasn't ready
he's
to go.
Been dead how long now, though?
Yeah, I know.
When they, so
2 years,
years of,
three, yeah, 2 4 years. 4 years, yeah. Jeez.
So, that's a good movie, you know, out. He does a number of movies out. So, but they've been getting, look at Maps. Look at the fiasco that Maps was. I mean,
still is.
Yeah, but with Jobs, Maps would have never been released as fucked up as it was.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been, somebody would have been being yelled at for days because they couldn't make the deadline and have a decent version of Maps.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well.
Although that is getting better. And I know I told you guys my story about that around here. I did tell you about my neighbor writing Tim Cook, didn't I?
Yes,
you did.
That was
an
awesome story. I love that.
Yeah.
And they actually have fixed the maps around here. Of course, my neighbor spent a year walking around and driving around with a GPS and sending them new updates with annotations.
What a guy.
He's retired. He's very detailed. He's a retired GM Cadillac engineer.
Wow.
So he's just cool. He sent them the stuff in triplicate, you know, right down to the decimal point, and then sure enough, they upgraded everything. They updated the maps. Yeah. My driveway is no longer listed as the entrance to the state park. I'm very thankful.
Yay! Yes!
Holy clap.
Yeah, that's worthy of applause.
Yes.
And Siri is much better under El Capitan. However, I got to say, I upgraded my Nexus 7 to Marshmallow, and of course now OK Google works on it, and I gotta say, man, OK Google understands me a lot easier, comes up with answers faster. It really is good. And the other cool thing about that is, you know, you can say like, how old is Tom Brady? And it'll tell you. And then you can say, how tall is he? And it knows you're still talking about Tom Brady. And it'll give you his height and stuff.
Whereas you tried that with Siri?
Siri, you got to say his name again.
I don't really mess very much with Siri or with Google Talk. So I really can't comment either way.
I use them. I don't use them a lot, but I'm hoping for that day when the interface is mostly that, because it's so much easier. I mean, especially if you're in the car and you're driving, it sure would be nice to just go, hey, Siri, and blah, blah, blah. Oh, sorry, I probably made half a dozen people's phone go off if they're listening to it. And ask a question. And then have it respond. That's another thing too. Siri, a lot of the answers Siri gives you, it'll pop up a web page or something.
Yeah.
With the information.
It does a Google search.
Well, Google actually I think it's doing, I don't know if it's doing Google or Bing. But with Google, it'll pop up the page. But then it will also answer you the basic question, an answer to the basic question you asked for. Sorry, I am having a wicked echo right now.
echo.
Yeah, I got to work on this. It's probably Captain Crunch. It's causing it. So, so I'm, you know, okay, Google is okay in my book.
Yeah, the biggest thing I use Siri for is to tell her to call my wife, and you know, I just simply, you know, to say, hey, call this person on their iPhone or at home. You know,
yeah,
that's been the biggest use I've had for it, mostly through my watch.
Yeah. Hey, I saw one of those in the wild. Finally, my diabetic specialist. I had an appointment this week with it, and she comes in. She goes, "Oh, I got to show you something," because she knows I'm a Apple fanboy. And she goes, "I just got it yesterday," and I'm looking at it, and you know, she starts demonstrating it and doing this stuff, and I said, "Oh, you are not good for me at all." I said, "Now I want one." I said, "I'm still not going to get it because 80% of the time I can't wear the damn thing. So it's not worth it."
Hey, get that fist out of the screen.
Oh, sorry. So, but, you know, if I didn't have the job I had, I'd probably have one.
Yeah, well, I'm in the same boat. I could only wear it half the time at work as it is, because in my office I can wear it, but when I go over to the computer lab and other areas, I have to, of course, leave it behind at the door with my iPhone. And, you know, then people ask me what time it is, and I look at my wrist and go, "I don't know. I can't see my Jeep." But, you know, you can put your own pictures on as the watch face with OS 2.0. Yeah. So, you know, I've got that picture I sent you guys of me by the Jeep. That's what I've got as a watch face.
Neat. Yeah, I mean, it was more impressive when she was showing it off, you know, in the wild, actually seeing somebody use it. And she was just getting used to it because she got it the day before. And she really was impressed with it. I mean, she went down. She wasn't going to buy one. She was taking her MacBook Air in for some work. And so I was down in Nashua. At the Pheasant Lane Mall, and she said, "Okay, show me the watch," and she just wanted to see it, and she ended up walking out with one. And
I will admit that pretty much like a smartphone, it's not really necessary to get through your daily life. A smartphone, you don't really need. All you need is just a mobile phone that you can make phone calls on. Yeah. But all the extra features that a smartphone has are handy to have, and you get used to having it. And the watch is the same way. It just brings all the smartphone functionality to your wrist. And you can be like within 50 feet of your phone and still use your watch without having the phone around. You know, you can send text messages, you can send emails, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's not as easy as on the phone because you got that little tiny screen to mess with, you know, but it does have a microphone, so you can tell it, you know, okay, record this, you blab, 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 and then send it, you know, and it'll translate it into text and send it off to where you want it to go. But using it every day, you get so used to having it there that after a while, if you forget it, like, because there are days that I forget to take it to work, and I'm kind of lost because it's like, thick. You know, it's like, oh crap, you know, because I'm used to like checking things on it all the time. Because I stop picking up my phone, I just leave it in my backpack. It's like, you know, four or five feet away from me, and I just like constantly mess around with the watch all the time. And I can go down to the break room or the bathroom and access my watch. I mean, my phone from my watch, you know, and it's, you just get so used to it. Yeah. And after a while, you know, it does get to be about as indispensable as your smartphone has become.
Yeah. Wow. I can see it. She said one of the cool things, I don't know that she set it up to do this on the way home, but when she was driving home, and again, she lives in my neighborhood, so, you know, it's an hour.
Out in the woods.
Yeah, hour, 15 minutes from the mall. And she said she's driving along, and of course the map shows up on her watch, and that's nice, but she's not paying attention to the map. But she's driving along, and when it comes time for her to make a turn, the damn thing taps her on the wrist. And she says it's not like a vibration, it feels like a tap. It goes like tap tap, and it's like, "You're supposed to turn here."
Oh. Yeah, I've never used that with the watch.
Yeah.
So I always go the same way every day.
Again, I'm a gadget. If I could, I'd have every gadget in the world, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm like you, Barry.
Yeah, I just was like, oh, this thing's so cool. And if I go see somebody else demo one more time, I think my bank account's going to be a little less money.
Yeah. Well, for your size wrist, you're going to be spending $400 minimum for a sport version.
Yeah, I know. She had a cool one. And now hers, I guess, I think it was a smaller one because she's a smaller person. But it was all black and had a black band. And I said, that's a nice looking watch. So I really liked it with the in the
black. Yeah, I wish I had gotten mine with a black band. But the color that I wanted the watch in didn't come with a black band at the time that I ordered it. Mm. And I was like, well, that's kind of screwed up. You know, because I wanted more of a grayish watch, and you couldn't get that with the black band. You had to get the dark gray one or whatever. Yeah, I can now. You know, so I got this garish blue band, which actually works out good now that I have a blue Jeep.
Yeah,
it matches the Jeep, so, you know, okay, it's not so bad now. When people say, why do you get a blue band? I just tell them it matches my Jeep.
There you go. I thought you get the gold watch, Barty, and then you get the $10,000 gold wrist.
No. That's way beyond me, trust me.
Yeah, that's incredible. So, Joel.
Yeah?
What the hell's going on?
Well, let's see. Basically, I have had a situation where I cannot, for some uncanny reason...
Michael keeps cracking me up.
Pictures to, like, if I had you as an open you up your contact information in contacts and say, oh, look, you know, edit, and I want to put a different picture in, you know, say your picture, and I got to open, you know, import from my photos, I keep getting an error message that says you cannot, there's a problem with the servers, please try back later. And this keeps happening regularly. So I'm trying it right now. Choose photo. Choose from all photos. I'm going to pick the one that I want, which is somewhere in here in this mess of shit. Out of 564 photos in which to choose from. There we go. Touch it. Cannot download photo. There was an error downloading this photo from your iCloud photo library. Please try again later. And the only other option, it gives you the button OK. Well, this has been going on for 3 days now.
Have you checked the forums on the Apple site?
No.
You might want to look around there because that's screwed up.
Yep.
Especially if, is that the only place you have a copy of these photos?
In iCloud?
Yeah.
I have them in iCloud. They show up on my phone, but they will not assign to a contact. But
no, download them to a desktop?
I can, yes. I'm looking at them right now on my iCloud on the computer right now, and all my photos are there.
Okay. The most important thing is to keep a local copy.
Yeah.
If the cloud goes away, you don't want your photos to as well.
All right. Exactly. So that's kind of what's been worrying me. It's like, okay, well, what happens if I lose all these damn pictures that I've had? You know, I've got years and years and years worth. So, you know, stuff from when we were up at MMPR and everything else, and now it's telling me I can't download them to my phone, and that's making me nervous.
Yep. Just backups.
Yep.
Back them up eight ways from Friday.
I don't really use iCloud for anything.
I only use it to synchronize things between all our iDevices and desktops.
Yeah, things, whatever it does.
Silly things
for
like
that.
Shopping list and stuff like that.
I don't use it for backups or anything like that because, one thing, if I started using that for backups, I'd be paying the $10 a month probably to get whatever it costs.
Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, no. Mine threw an error message at me that said, your iCloud is full. And so I'm like, okay. The 5 gigs they give you. So then the idea behind it being is that, all right, well, so now what? It's like, well, you can upgrade for 99 cents a month to 50 gigs on iCloud. So I'm like, $12 a year for 50 gigs. Not too bad as a backup. I mean, as price-wise goes.
Yeah.
And you might want to see where your iDevices are backing up to, like your iPhones and iPads and whatnot. Yeah, are you backing them up to your desktop or backing them up to the cloud?
I did both. So, because I don't trust the cloud.
Yeah, I back all mine up locally and don't put any backups on the cloud.
I only back up on my MacBook Pro, which then gets backed up into time machine. Unfortunately, though, it takes a good chunk of your hard drive because I use let me see what the program's name is. There's an app for there because I got to start cleaning up. I use Disk Inventory X, and it gives you a graphical display of where, what part of your disk is being hogged by what. Right. And one of the biggest sections in there is my iPhone backups on there. So, yeah, one of them's like, I don't know, like 93 gigs. So, but I don't know what to do. I don't really, I haven't heard good things about iCloud. I hear that people are saying Apple still has work to do with getting iCloud to work decently. I've never trusted it. 5 gigs is nothing,
yeah,
you know, for free. So I'd rather pay and pay $10 a month to Dropbox, right, and back things up on there than to do it on iCloud. I think
it's kicking my butt right now. I can tell you that. I've never had this problem before.
But you might want to check the forums and do a search and see if anybody's got a solution for you. If you punch it into Google, chances are you're going to end up on the Apple forums.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Well, I'll let you know how it plays out.
Okay. So, Ingress, nothing to report. Yeah, I've been playing.
The Bob Safe Zone.
Yeah. nothing exciting to report. The Shards were in Boston this week, and a bunch of people went down there. I don't usually participate in that stuff, so I don't even know what Shards are, because to tell you the truth, I haven't followed the Ingress story for a very long time. You know, I just go out and blow green things up.
Why not?
Yeah. So
that showed up really good.
Yeah. So nothing great from my neck of the woods on that.
Yeah, same here.
I will say Marcus passed me in his Guardian. He's over 240 days now.
Nice. Woo-hoo!
Go, Mark.
That's impressive.
But that's the one I had to set up the special microwave link to get to. So
yeah,
it's going to take somebody with at least my skills to go take it.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. Can you set up another one like that, and I'll come up and visit and take it? And then
there is another one like that. Oh, and I have the equipment to go set it up if you want to come up here.
Might be worth it just to get my Guardian.
That guy from the East Coast comes out here. He's got a satellite truck. And it's 89 days. I got to get this set up.
Oh, C4. Yeah. I'm not gonna. I don't like to make judgments on people, but he plays like a douchebag. I'll say it that way. I don't know whether he's actual douchebag or not. I've never met him, but he plays like a douchebag.
One. He looks like one. He smells like one. He probably is one.
I didn't say that.
I said it for you.
He just plays like one. Okay, so we're back into bottom gear. Okay, I'll play this one, and Joel, you can time it. I'll tell you when I hit the button. All right. I'm hitting the button now.
Everybody watching you guys do.
Hello and welcome to another late night QRM edition of Bottom Gear. I'm one of your hosts, Joel. Today we got a few stories to tell, and Barry's going to lead us right into it. Take it away, Barry.
Well, it's not really a car story, but it is about the JD. And I did it on Friday. I pulled the trigger, and I ordered the enclosure cab for the JD. Said I would stay warm and toasty this winter while snow blowing. And it's, I got some good news on that too, because I was looking online to order this thing, and every place, a lot of the places were saying out of stock, out of stock, out of stock, and I'm like, oh crap, you know, this is probably the worst time to buy this thing. So
yeah, springtime probably would have been the best.
Yeah, I know. But so I finally found this place, and the price was, and it was actually John Deere. Actually, I'll say my wife found this place, because I don't know where she finds these things. She used to be a research analyst, so she's good at this stuff. She found this. It was John Deere, and it was $506 on the thing. I said, $506. It must have gone up in price, because, you know, it used to be $424 or something, you know, like that. And I said, well, if they went up in price, because I had seen them that price in other places too that were out of stock. I said, well, it's not going to get any cheaper. So I ordered it. And of course, what happens when you order it, they don't send it to your house. They send it to the local dealer. So I had him send it to the Nashua store. So the next day, I get a phone call from the Nashua store, and they said, oh, listen, we got the information that you ordered this online, and we already have one down here, so they're not going to send it because we have it. I said, oh, the first time I don't go to them to order, because I figured they were going to have to order it, and I can do that myself. But they actually had them in stock. So, and he goes, do you want us to set that up? Are you bringing the tractor down? You know, they actually missed up me. So they had, all this was in a voice message. And they said, are you bringing the tractor down and you want us to put it on? And I call them back and I said, no. First of all, it's way too early to put the thing on. I said, I think it looks pretty easy. I think I can put the thing together and put, you know, I'm going to have to learn anyway, because I'm going to take it off and put it back on. So he goes, yeah, it's not hard to do. I said, no, I just, they needed to deliver it somewhere. I gave him your place because you're the closest place. And he goes, well, there's one thing wrong with the price too. And I said, oh, here we go. Here we go. It's no longer $506. It's going to be, you know, like $600 or something. He said, no, this is why we were confused, because the $506 price is if we install it for you. But if we're not installing it, it's only $424. I said, good news!
Yes. How hard is it to install? It's just like,
you got to put the frame
four bolts
together.
Into four holes, right?
Well, you got, there's a framework that, you know, there's you know, they go into four holes, the sides, but then there's a framework that goes between them, and then you got to put the, and then there's two doors that go on that are, they're covered, but they're actual doors with hinges and zippers, I guess, also. Yep. So there's some putting together, and I'm sure, you know, when it comes in the box, there'll be, all the poles will be in parts, pieces and parts and stuff like that. So
pieces, parts.
They say it takes about an hour to put it together, which I figure is going to be a 3-hour job then. with the instructions that are probably, you know,
in Japanese, written
in Japanese English or Chinese English, you know.
Yeah, like that canopy you tried to put in your backyard once way back in the radio QRM days.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
Damn, I listen to that episode now and just still almost pee my pants laughing. That was awesome.
Well, so we're getting that now. Of course, I got to soup it up a little, because I'm going to have this thing. I don't want to puncture or poke any holes into the canvas for it, but I got to figure out, I want to get lights for it, and I'm going to get LED lights, because that's the latest and greatest and takes half the power, and they're supposedly twice as bright as original, you know, work lights.
Yeah.
And so I went on Amazon, and there's a set of four of them for like $35.
Ooh.
And so now, and the other thing is, I think I'm going to have to be able to remove these things before I bring it into the garage, because I have a feeling if I put these on, I'm not going to make it through the garage door.
Really?
Yeah, it's the thing's almost as tall as I am. It's just short of how tall I am. Now, I can walk into the garage and not hit my head on anything, so I'm safe. But if I add lights on top of it, you know.
I don't know. You know, I was kind of looking at adding lights to the top of my Jeep and thinking that, you know, I wanted to have, like, the round spotlight-type lights.
Yeah.
And the way they sit up, they're, like, about 5-6 inches higher than the roof of the Jeep. And I was thinking those might be too high, that I might need to get an LCD bar instead that's kind of, like, even with the top of the roof. Mm-hmm. And that'll fit in. But I would think that the canopy of the JD should be lower than the roof of a vehicle.
I think it's going to be higher than my Prius, definitely, for sure.
Well, yeah, the Prius isn't very high, though.
I forget what it was, but, you know, it was just shy of 80 inches, I think. And I'm 80 inches, or 81 inches, I think.
Poor Agger.
So, prior. So,
you know, I'm a little short guy, you know. I'm a shrimp next to you three.
So we'll see. But I'm probably going to set it up. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'll have Joel come over and we'll try to figure out how we can jury rig this thing. And it does.
Joel will come over and make it work. Yeah. So after you get it done and Joelized, let me know how it goes, because me and my beautiful bride would be most interested in finding out just exactly how functional that is.
Okay.
Because we've kicked it around. What was that, Joe?
On the inside. So that roll bar that you got on the back of your JD?
Yeah.
Right. Now, you have a black permanent roll bar on yours, don't you?
No, I don't have any roll bar in the back. This goes in the holes where the roll bar would go. You can buy a roll bar.
So rather than going on the top of the canvas enclosure, which might make it too tall to get into the garage,
put it on the sides.
Put it on the sides.
Yeah.
Like Mickey Mouse ears.
Excellent. And now, I didn't even think about that. And there's zippers there, so I could probably just attach it to the poles.
That's why we have Joel.
Very good, Joel.
Yeah,
I'm going to get rid of set of four, because I'll tell you, I've been looking at YouTube videos.
Michael's shaking his head thinking, why didn't these lungheads think about that earlier?
I was on YouTube looking for, you know, if anybody else did this. And of course, I got the one where, of course, they got the giant farm tractors, the JD farm tractors. And they just came out with a set of LED lights for them. And they were comparing them to the standard lights that they had. And oh my God, the difference was literally night and day. LED ones. And it's like half, maybe even more than half less power consumption with these things.
LEDs, you really don't use anywhere near the amount of electricity.
Right. So I figured I can run four of them if they're LEDs. And what I learned by watching the large tractors was they just don't have them on the front of the tractor. They got them on all sides of the tractor and in the back and everything. So they just light up everything.
You need them everywhere.
Yeah. So I said, I want to do the same thing. If I get four of them, you know, I can put them on all four corners, and they're up. They're elevated higher than the headlights of my tractor, which kind of got half obscured by the snowblower. And so it should light it up. It should be safer for me to be out there at night with cars coming. And I'm even thinking about getting LED yellow lights to put up there, too, just because... Yeah, because I want to.
Lights. I don't blame him. Let me know how that all works out, because I might emulate you, just like with the Lazy Boy rocker. You talked about that chair so much, and I went and got myself one. So, you know, if this enclosure thing works really well, I could probably tuck my wife into one of those, too.
Well, my wife was all for this, because I told her, I said, look, if you want me out there snow blowing again this year, like I had to last year. Granted, it's a lot easier with the John Deere, but I can't take these temperatures out there. Right. No matter how well.
Oh, I thought about the heat issue, too.
Yeah, you said something about you had a heater that plugs in.
Two things.
I do have I call it a cigarette lighter adapter, but I have one in the tractor.
This thing, it's a cigarette adapter lighter heater. Now, when I had my F-350 diesel, that had supremely shitty heat in the cab. and I never figured out why I couldn't get good heat in that truck. Well, I bought this thing, which I plugged in, and it would heat up the whole cab enough to be able to slowly melt, you know, ice and stuff off of the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to put it down on the floor to keep my feet warm
down
at the bottom of that truck. This thing would more than keep you roasty, toasty, warm inside that cabin of your John Deere.
It wouldn't
How much
take
power
much.
Does it need, though?
Huh?
It only draws like 3 amps. So three to five amps.
It's one thing putting it into a big 350 as opposed to a little JD.
Mm-mm. It's a 12-volt system, only draws about 5 amps. And quite frankly, you know, you can the fuse that's on the JD, I'm sure, is a 10 or 15-amp fuse.
Yeah, I think it is.
The power port.
So, I could probably run that and the lights with no problem.
Well, that and the lights. And the other thing, when you put the cabin on, how it snaps and kind of attaches to the hood.
Yeah.
You get the heat off the engine. Not just exhaust. You get the heat.
Well, that's why I'm holding off on getting the heater to see whether
I'll loan you mine. I don't want you to buy one because if you get enough heat. Then cool without it. If you don't, use mine.
Yeah,
and say, yeah,
then cool.
because the radiator on that tractor is up top. It's right. You know, and they got the vents for the radiator are actually on the top of the tractor. So I'm thinking if this thing, and I don't know yet, but if this thing even slightly goes over that a little bit, I'm probably going to get heat off the engine.
You will get heat off the engine, which will keep the front. Let's call it the windshield, but I know it's clear plastic. It keeps that from icing up.
Right.
Think about it. You're snow blowing during an active storm. If you had no source of heat, all the snow would hit that front windshield, ice up, and then you wouldn't be able to see where the hell you're going.
Right. Yeah.
So it heats up inside the cab and melts it off so you can constantly keep seeing where you're driving.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing to keep in mind, if that plastic completely freezes, you don't want to be trying to knock the ice off of it because it'll crack.
Although they say it's tested down to minus 20. So that's good, that vinyl. But I'm not going to be trying to knock ice off of it or anything. If it gets ice on it.
Drive it into your garage and then you let it melt off itself.
Exactly. So, but I'm kind of excited. Actually, since it's already in place, my beautiful bride's going to go down on Tuesday and pick it up because, you know, she's got the RAV4 and it'll definitely fit in there. So
well, I'm kind of excited because if this works, I might be able to get one too.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll let you know. Of course, you know what's going to happen. I'm going to get this thing and we're not going to get any freaking snow this winter.
We are. Farmer's Almanac, they say we're going to get the same kind of winter we had last year.
Yeah,
that was the pattern that we had when we first moved into the house in Nausea down on Fox Street. We went and got an eight horsepower walk behind snowblower ready for the winter, and we got no snow all winter long.
I had to wait till the JD that happened. It was like it didn't start snowing until like the end of February.
Yeah.
After I got it, so and of course. The people down in Philadelphia shudder whenever I get something new to handle snow because they got all the weather.
Screw up.
Yeah. So that's my bottom gear report.
Very, very cool. I don't have a lot to add in aside from the fact that Goldfinger is still at Dr. Kenny's.
Wait a minute.
And
it's playing.
I know, I'm bopping my head. Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Yeah, your brain's about 2 seconds past.
Oh. Okay. I'll drink another beer then.
He still hasn't heard that often in his life.
So, as I talked about in a couple shows ago, how my wipers were acting really weird and wouldn't reset back to the home position, and they would stay on. And so I had the delay. I could change the speed of the delay wipe, but I couldn't shut them off, and I couldn't turn them on constant fast. Well, I jury-rigged a kill switch, and I ran it inside the car. So when I would stay on and stay on and stay on and stay on and stay on, even when it's nice weather, you couldn't shut them off. I jumped into the circuit, put a jumper, put a kill switch in the car. So I went, poof, killed him. And then when it started to rain or drizzle, I flipped the kill switch back into the closed circuit position, and they would turn back on. But that's not the right way they're supposed to work. Supposed to with the knob that's from the factory in the car, and yeah. that's a malfunction of the circuit board that does the delay wipe. Well, Kenny's like, dude, just give me the car, and I'll get you one. He's on. He just sent back the fourth board, which is the wrong one. So we're still trying to hunt down the right circuit board for the delay wipers in this car, and the saga continues.
Wow.
I've been driving Rambo the whole time, which I have to tell you guys, I'm loving driving a two-wheel drive truck around. Drinks more gas, but as I had said to my beautiful bride, once I got to work, I'm like, you know what? I'm driving the truck all the time. And when the nice weather's out, I'm driving the truck, and I'm buying a four-wheel drive for bad weather because, quite honestly, gas is only $2.09 a gallon, and I don't give a shit. I'm driving the truck. I'm in it. I'm fit in it. I'm comfortable.
That's what counts. That counts, too. And as long as the gas is cheap, you know, you might change your mind if it goes up to $4 a gallon, but, you know, you deal with that when the time comes.
Right. Exactly. I mean, let's face it. I'm not bashful about having 5, 6, 7 cars.
Yeah, you go through cars and cell phones like like
nobody's business.
Yeah,
I know, but it's just I get bored driving some of them, and you know, and then you get rid of them, and then you say, that looks fun to drive. I'll buy that.
Yep. And besides, it keeps bottom gear going.
There you go.
All right. Entertainment last month. Michael.
Are we doing the bumper?
Oh, bumper. Sure. Wait a minute. Here we go. I'll cue you.
Okay, and welcome to Entertainment Last Month. As I've said on our Google Plus page, apparently I'm the last to know. Was I asleep during one of the shows when everybody was talking about Dark Matter being on Netflix?
I think it was just on. I was just giving you a hard time. I had seen it about 2 weeks before you noticed.
Okay, because it just. With the schedule we had in the last year, trying to find time when Chris and I could both track it down on Sci-Fi Channel and log in, just wasn't working. But it came up. Netflix knows that's something we would want to see and said, hey, this is available now. And Chris and I looked at each other and went, oh, cool. So we have worked Dark Matter into our late night viewing slot.
It's nice.
And we are thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying this.
Cool. My wife got into it really, really deeply as well, and we just DVR all the episodes off of Sci-Fi.
Yeah,
we don't have a DVR, so. But you know, generally, just about everything is available. So it's and it's as long as I've got a decent internet connection, which I do, we can watch it in pretty decent quality here.
Yeah,
we have the same dishness setup that Barry does. I mostly just copy everything Barry does, you know. He's a smart guy, so.
Well, you know, it's funny. With that and Doctor Who and other ones, I also have them set up on the magic antenna. And if they come down off the magic antenna, I'd much rather watch them off of that because, yeah, it's the whole commercial thing.
Yes, I agree completely.
So.
But, and I'll sink back into Radio Free Scaro as well. I mean, I had started listening to that podcast for you Who Men's out there, something to say. part of the human race.
Yeah.
But I started listening to Radio Free Scaro from episode 1 on up. And I kept it up for quite a while, but in between seasons, they just kind of roll the dice and watch an old episode from the old Doctor Who's
except that they have this unlimited library that they can watch from, and they're expecting you to be watching it with them to do the Mystery Science Theater 3000 thing, except I don't have the episodes. And right. They don't have it loud enough in the background, so you really can't hear what's going on. But now that
that makes it hard.
Current, I can actually listen. Yeah, but I can, now that I'm current, I can actually listen to the current episodes of their podcast while
discussing the episodes. So yes,
we are both thoroughly enjoying season 9 now too.
It is excellent. That's all I can say.
Yes, yes, it is.
And I'm super enjoying it. And the last one was a to-be-continued one, wasn't it?
Yes, yes, it is.
Yes, if I... And I also like... Am I spoiling anything if I say anything about the sonic screwdriver is gone and been replaced? Which I think what it was replaced with was very cool.
I think it's fitting for him.
Yeah, it works very well. So, anyway.
Is everybody here is everybody here current?
Okay, spoiler alert. But the cool Ray-Ban.
Like Guinness ain't coming out till January anyway.
The Oakley, are they Oakley?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true. Are they Oakley or Ray-Ban? I can't tell what sunglasses they are, but there's a pair of sunglasses that replace the sonic screwdriver, which is pretty cool. So, that's right. Yeah, now I remember. I was trying to remember episode 3 because I think I watched it. You know, either watched it last Saturday night after the podcast, or I watched it Sunday morning. So, that was a cool episode.
After the podcast. Jeez, after the podcast, I go right to bed.
I'm good till 3 or 4.
If I can last through the podcast.
I was up. Well, last night I went to bed early. I made it into bed by 2:30.
I was in bed about 8 o'clock. Of course, I got up this morning around 6:15.
Well, Thursday night, I made it into bed about 4:30. But, caveat, I fell asleep on the lazy boy.
Yeah, and like I texted, I can understand that. The lazy boy is so comfy.
Yeah.
I love that lazy boy.
They're great.
I'm glad I listened to you and paid attention to what you were saying, because it is an awesome chair.
They are good.
And they are not a sponsor of a late night QRM. No. They ought to be, but they're not.
Yeah,
two out of four late night QRMers recommend Lazy Boy rocker recliners.
I haven't checked on that lifetime warranty either for the springs. I have to give them a call. I didn't have a time. It was a busy week this week for me, so get that spring replaced if I can, or the entire chair. That would be nice too. All right, you know, we're trying to make these things shorter, and we're getting close to 2 hours. So,
one last thing I'd like to throw in,
sure,
for the geeks in the audience, I used to use a Behringer UB-802 mix board as my interface, and I was getting into these shows through my MacBook Pro with the one of the next to the last year where they had 17-inch screens. The last 2 weeks, I've been using the iMac, which does not have a 3.5-millimeter microphone input
that
I used to use out of the Behringer mix board. So I picked up a Behringer Euphoria UM2, and I plugged my microphone into that. It's got a powered microphone port that'll drive it, and it has a USB interport USB interface that goes right into the back of the iMac. And evidently, since 2 weeks in a row, we haven't had any issues, it tends to work rather fine. So I'd mention that.
That's something.
By the way, I use 802 here, Artie.
Do you really? It's a great mix. I love it.
Yeah, it is. It's good for podcasting.
The podcast episodes were made on that mix board. And I had multiple things going in and out of it and stuff, and it worked awesome. But it just doesn't have a way to interface with a USB port that the iMac uses. The iMac doesn't have a microphone port like the other computers do. So that's when I decided to get this Behringer Euphoria UM2. I can put the same microphone into that, and I can also put the mix board into it as well if I wanted to mix other sounds into it.
Yeah.
But trying to run the microphone through the mix board and into the UM2 doesn't seem to work very well. So, but other things through the mix board into the UM2 does. So I can't quite understand why that is, but for anyone who's looking for a way of getting a USB input into a USB-only computer, the UM2 is a great way to do it.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
No, that's good, because I'm running, and this thing's pretty old now, because we've been doing it for 10 years. I think I got this at... This is probably 9 years old. I've got a Behringer Eurorack UB1 or 1222 FX-Pro, which takes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 microphone inputs, and then a couple other inputs, and FX out and FX in, and it's strictly. It doesn't have USB output. It's strictly analog, and that's my problem now. And
that's the same thing with the UB802.
It's a great mixer,
but it doesn't have a USB out.
Right. So, you know, all the new computers went USB in, so then that's why I'm using the iTrack Solo. I take the output of the board and put it into the iTrack Solo so I can get USB out and into this thing. So, I don't know. It would be nice if I had a mixing board that did it all. So, anyway.
Well, they do have USB mixing boards now.
They do. I don't know whether I want to. I spent a goodly amount of money on this one, and it's still working.
Yeah, I hear you. I picked up the UM2 because I had a $25 credit from Asource, and I also have an Amazon credit card that gets me credits every time I use it. So this little device that was like a $45 thing only cost me like about $15-$20. So, you know, it was like, okay, let's try it. Evidently, since I'm sounding good to you, it's working well.
Yep, it's good. You've sounded great past couple of weeks. Sorry, excuse me. So, all right.
Yeah, last week was the first week that I used it.
Yeah, you sounded good, and you sound good this week. So, it's working, Barty. It's working for you.
As long as it's working for you, Barry, because you're recording.
Yeah. Okay, the musical guest tonight is a Joel pick one. It's Godsmack with 1,000 HP.
I like those guys.
What's that?
I like those guys.
1,000 horsepower.
Well, I thought the name of it was 1,000 HP. I've heard a lot of people refer to horsepower as HP, so I thought I was being cool. I thought I was being up to date and, you know, up with the jive,
right on the spot.
Talking right, you know, saying HP.
So. Just a hipster.
Hip-hop-a-dunk, don't come a knocking. I don't know the rest of it.
You heard it from your neighbors in nausea.
Yeah, no kidding.
I don't even know what the song is, so.
Oh. I'll send it to you. It's a break dancing song from the 80s.
No, okay.
Isn't that the Sugar Hill Gang?
I believe it is.
See,
yeah, I think it is too.
I spent half my 80s in Japan, so there was a bit of a culture shock when I came back.
Actually, so did I. At the same place.
Yeah, and we didn't even know each other. Oh well. All right, guys. That's it for show 199. Show 200 next week.
200.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, I tweeted this, and I just got to tell the guys over at the Marshall McLuhan Variety Hour, in show 51, they mentioned that was recorded and released back in last March, said that they're making some comment, and they commented that I probably wouldn't hear it until November. Ha! I heard it in October!
Ha! So there.
Show them.
Yeah. So. Oh, and a serious
that's still
note
better than throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
Actually, I've been listening to the more up to date ones because I'm just going back when I have time to listen to the old ones, so I'm staying current with the new ones. But I like going back and listening to the ones I haven't heard. Yeah, they're ones you can listen to back in the old days.
They're worth listening to twice.
Yeah. serious note, thoughts and prayers go out to Jason from up in his brain. He's having some family trying family times right now, and so he's backed away from podcasting a little bit and social media, all duly noted. And you know, hopefully we'll keep you kind of entertained through this period with our podcast, and we can't wait till you get back on the air here, so to speak. Yeah. With your podcast.
Amen to that. Amen. Yeah. To that. Absolutely. So, all the best gifts.
Yeah, so, okay, with that, and our military members out there, both CONUS and OCONUS, thanks for what you're doing. You OCONUS guys, stay safe. And we hope you get home to your family and friends real soon. Till then, we'll keep the home fires burning for you. So, with that, from the extremely colorful Monadnock region of Southwest New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
And from South Central New Hampshire at Studio FU, this is Joy.
And from the Tokyo Plateau, this is Barty.
And from the suburbs of Copper Harbor in Studio V, this is Michael the Virtual Uber.
Oh, and by the way, did you know that Late Night QRM goes out on the FUJ network? I just wanted to let you know we're a new affiliate of the FUJ.
I love it.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
That's
until
good.
Then,
good.
Here's Godsmack. Samson, speak. Good boy.